In Scotland to this day, apprentice barristers are called devils for a reason. It's because they are being taught the law of the sea, and the sea is acknowledged to be Satan's realm and home where he was cast down from heaven. So the law of the sea is Satan's law, and the practitioners of it are rightly called devils and masters of deceit. It should come as no surprise, then, that the man most singularly responsible for destroying and polluting 10 millennia of English common law was a Scottish Admiralty attorney, William Murray, otherwise known as Lord Mansfield. He is credited in today's whitewashed version with reforming English law, but to many observers, it is apparent that he destroyed it, instead. The essence of Murray's reform was to bring Admiralty law ashore and intermingle it with English common law, a forced and unholy marriage that resulted in what is today called equity law. The only equity in equity law is the king's, which is precisely what its proponents like about it. The new law set up by Murray established a system on the land by which the king's cronies could dispose of private property and persons, however they liked, so long as it was in the king's arguable best interests and get a share of the spoils themselves. This neatly divested the king from any direct responsibility for the courts, and created a self-perpetuating system of greed fulfillment that runs without undue oversight. As long as the accounting mechanisms are kept in trim, the fleecing can go on day and night for years on end with barely a ripple breaking the surface of this parody of justice. This criminal equity system derives from a long history of prize money under British Admiralty law, by which a captured ship could be salvaged and towed ashore, sold, and the receipts shared out, with so much going to the king, so much to the captain who captured the ship, and so much split up to the members of the crew. This is what happens in equity courts to this day, wherein the government gets its share, the judge receives his bit, and the rest goes to the attorneys. The prisoner or defendant in the dock naval term is misaddressed on a docket another naval term, and is mischaracterized as a captured ship being salvaged. The victim's soul is considered his cargo, and the salvage operation is considered to be his salvation. The payment of fines and dock fees is his redemption. It's a peculiar combination of sanctimonious Calvinist doctrine gone askew, abject toadyism to the king or other government, and theft, washed down with a straight face and whiskey flasks in the judge's chambers. Equity law leads directly to capricious justice, wherein no two punishments for the same crime are similar, as each judge is free to interpret and excuse things according to their own discernment. Usually, if the victim is ignorant and poor and not likely to effectively protest, he is dealt with most severely. If the defendant is socially and economically well-placed, possibly with avenues to the king's ear, he gets off with a slap on the wrist. So much for discernment. The salvation of the latter's soul becomes less of a public concern and more in the nature of a private one, as a rich man is automatically assumed to be on good terms with Satan, who sits as the great judge over this entire system of law. The thing that equity law, created in the 1750s, promises in dry dock is also accomplished on the land by public trust administration, created in 1666 by the Sestui QV Act, and both get away with their abuses by assuming a public interest in private property. The public interest is an ownership interest, which allows the king to take out insurance policies on his subjects. It is not possible to insure something if you don't have an ownership interest in it, and this is no exception. Via the imposition of equity law or via the presumptions provided by the Sestui QV Act, the British king happily presumes an ownership interest in living people who have no relationship to him at all. He simply theorizes the existence of a British person, a subject that exists in his care as their trustee while on the high seas and navigable inland waterways, or presumes the existence of an abandoned orphan using the same name as the victim, and ensures that person as his own possession, his slave or indentured servant. Then, no matter what happens to that person, up to and including death, the king makes a tidy profit from him or her. Such persons are handily subject to equity law and administrative law, both. And unknown to the Brits, Americans, Canadians, and others who have been victimized by this purposeful fraud scheme, these are the imaginary foreign persons being addressed under the foreign law of the equally foreign equity courts and corporate tribunal, administrative courts sitting on our shores. These courts can never address the actual living people at all. If they did, they'd be committing crimes. Instead, they have to successfully misaddress and mischaracterize their victims as one of their own foreign subjects in order to establish jurisdiction. People fall into their trap by replying to a misaddressed summons or by appearing as a character, a defendant, in one of their court dramas. They can also do this by successfully misaddressing you as Mr. or Miss or attaching some other title to you. Mr. is the proper form of address for a British midshipman. If you answer to someone calling you Mr. Brown, you have taken the bait. A taxpayer is a warrant officer in the British Merchant Marine Service. This pattern of purposefully mischaracterizing and impersonating people so as to invoke seagoing jurisdictions is endemic. Having once successfully misaddressed the target, they can proceed with the rest of their agenda, which is simply to fleece the victim and coerce them on behalf of their king. This is bad enough in times of peace, but during times of war, it devolves into lawfare wherein even the rules of equity law are bent beyond recognition and the judges operate more or less openly as petty tyrants, handing out arbitrary sentences, lying, practicing law from the bench, tampering with evidence, and generally making a mockery of justice, victimizing anyone they can misidentify as an enemy combatant. In this country, they have used the American Civil War, an illegal mercenary conflict that actually ended over 150 years ago, as their excuse to presume enemies behind every bush and invoke admiralty law on dry land. This allows them to presume virtually unlimited powers over life and death, property and its disposal, prison terms, etc. To weaponize their other venue, the administrative courts, they have their captains declare various other kinds of war, wars on poverty, drugs, and terrorism, for example. All this, where there is in fact no war and no subjects to prosecute, there's a whole lot of legal presumption going on where it is not merited. We have trustingly, stupidly, endured this situation for over 150 years. These foreign courts have misapplied their foreign and self-serving law to generations of innocent Americans, robbing, defrauding, mischaracterizing, and coercing us in the process. The creation of equity law and its true nature as institutionalized crime did not escape the notice of our ancestors, who vehemently denied it access to our shores. It only crawled out of the slime in the wake of the Civil War, when, in May of 1865, the Territorial Rump Congress provided for the creation of military districts in the 11 southern states, and the so-called district courts were born. These carpetbagger courts became infamous for their injustice and raw avarice. And they are still in operation. We call for the removal of all maritime and admiralty courts from our shores and their permanent relocation to the District of Columbia or other foreign locations. We can administer our own public law and law of the land with no trouble, all by ourselves. We also call for investigation by the Inspector General, Postmaster General, and the Postmaster of the United States concerning the use of Dog Latin, also mischaracterized as American Sign Language, to misaddress mail delivered within the borders of our states of the Union. Finally, we call for the lawful conversion of all private corporation assets presently occupying what appear to be public offices, departments, courts, and similar public service positions, and their return to duty under the auspices of our lawful civilian government,